You see a lot of guys from the past where they, you know, requested trades and things like that, and you could have seen something special happen. And I think we remind ourselves of that a lot. We want to stay here and win championships for the city.
Simmons downhill, lethal, folks.
That's Simmons.
Got it either way there.
Nice. Simmons with that down under step.
Well, I like what he did.
NBA Strayer. How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Strayer. It is Monday, March 11. It's Labor Day.
Oh, you're taking a day off, mate? You're kicking back?
I'm not. Just out here slaving away for all you fine people. That's right. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better. And then an officially out for the season Lonzo Ball in the NBA today as we wrap up after every single day of NBA action this season while ripping Straya just a little bit, mate. It's just what we do. All right, so a fun-ass weekend of NBA to talk about with weekend winners and losers. We've also got all the usual dumbassery. That's not a knife. Old mate, no mate, spud of the night, better than Lonzo Ball. Of course, there's yeah, nah. There's also the unpopular opinion of the day, which is a good one today, and Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up some flame grilled takes. We've also got a brand new Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. We've got our Dickhead of the Weekend, and there's a look at the odds and a pick and preview for all the games tomorrow before we close out with a brand new Deli review as Matthew Dellavedova delivers his verdict on Bohemian Rhapsody. Yes. It's going to be great. Trust me, or don't. Up to you. Whatever. This is NBA Australia episode 242. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better, or you better watch out for the attack of the suddenly unstoppable Phoenix Suns if you're a number one seed. Holy moly. Better watch out for the wine bottles if you're old LeBron James. That dude's been shit-faced for half this year, and you can kind of tell now. You better watch out for the attack of the injury bug, I guess, if you're the rest of the Lakers as well. So we're going to start today the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around. Bit of news. Paul George should be MA, well, I guess he's PG-13, isn't he? So he should be MA-15 plus at this point. Got fined $25,000 for talking shit about the horrible reffing in the Saturday shit show between OKC and the Clippers. Whoa. Paul George said, it's just bad officiating. I'm sorry, just bad officiating. We don't get a fair whistle. We haven't got a fair whistle all year. Somebody's got to look into this. It's getting out of hand. Where we somehow just walk teams to the line and there's nobody that gets more contact. If I don't speak for myself, I speak for Russ. There's nobody gets more contact than Russ going to the basket, and it's just crazy. Yeah, it's pretty wild, man. Paul George, Rusty Westbrook, and Steven Adams Brew all fouled out of Friday, well, Saturday's game. It's the second time in the past 10 seasons that an NBA team has had three starters foul out in regulation. That is fucking wild. The best bit is Pat Beverly, the esteemed point guard of your Los Angeles Clippers, came in off the top rope tweeting, Paul George, never knew you for the excuse type. Give credit if credit's due. I lucked you up last night. I won the battle last night. Plain and simple. Ah, I fucking love Patrick Beverly. Some injury news. Lonzo Ball, as mentioned, is out for the rest of the season. He's been shut down after trying to get back from his weird grade 3 ankle sprain, which I just assume is he got from kicking a grade 3 or in their head or something. Seems like a ball in the family sort of thing to do. He also had a bone bruise in that ankle. So that goes back to like January 19. So it's a pretty bad ankle sprain if you ask me. It's the old Dirk Nowitzki high ankle sprain. What do you reckon? But the Lakers' problems were compounded as Brandon Spindles Ingram was diagnosed with DVT. That's right, deep vein thrombosis, or deep venous thrombosis as they call it in the States, in his right shoulder and arm. So he's out for the rest of the year because he's going to go on fucking, you know, the same shit my dad's on. He's on the old fucking warfarin. It's like, Jesus, could he also not have more than two beers? What do you reckon, Spindles? Spindles is my dad. Confirmed. But yeah, there you go. So no Brandon Ingram, no Lonzo Ball. Lakers. It's over, mate. It's all over. They're currently in 11th in the West. They're 30 and 36. They're 8.5 games. Well, what's that? Hang on a second. 7.5 games back. I got to learn my maths. From the Clippers, the best team in LA at the moment. And there you go. Jesus. Other injury news. Big Karl Anthony Towns left limping with 10 seconds left against the Wizards the other day in the OT win by the Wolves. But luckily we found out today the MRI was good news and clear of any serious damage. So at the moment, just inflammation of his knee. Good news. Don't want Cat injured. The coward, Kevin Durant, rolled his ankle today against Phoenix as well. Steve Kerr said after the game that it wasn't that serious though. And Matty Dellavedova, Delly, suffered a concussion against Brooklyn, so he didn't play on the weekend and won't play again Tuesday against Toronto. And meanwhile, in actual good injury news, son of Cecil, Kangaroo Kobe himself, Dante Exum, is going to be back tomorrow versus OKC. He's listed as probable, which is good because the Jazz don't have any other point guards beside jingling Joe Ingles. All right, it's Monday. Let's do weekend winners and weekend losers. Let's go winners.
Oh, my God. I won! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is...
Me!
Ken Brockman. Can we get a shot of me? There you go. In other news, tragic mix-up today in Cleveland. Many people killed. Goodbye.
That's so good. Weekend winners. Philly. That's right. But James, they lost to the Rockets, mate. Yeah, but then they sorted it out. They were down 14 against Indy in a battle for the 3 seed in the East. And they turned it around. It was a wild game. Philly get Joel Embiid back. They come back from 14 down against Indiana. They win thanks to their defense. Embiid nearly outscores the Pacers himself in the second half. But more importantly, Philly, they get that win and they back up to the 3 seed. But really, why they're weekend winners is because Ben Simmons, after the game, said, you see a lot of guys from the past request trades and things like that when you could have seen something special happen. And I think me and Joel remind ourselves of that a lot. We want to stay here and win championships for the city. Ah, it just warms your heart. Big Simo Ben Simmons. He's not going to bail on Philly, you reckon? That's nice. Other weekend winners, the Boston Celtics. They shit-pumped the Los Angeles Lakers, their most hated of all rivals. And suddenly everything's okay again in Beantown. The Brooklyn Nets, they eked out a win over Atlanta. They've now won 3 straight, keeping their playoff-like seeding pretty firmly in that 6-7 spot. Whereas a couple of weeks ago, they looked happily in the 6th spot. They dropped a couple of games. Detroit have gone on an absolute fucking tear. So, but it's kind of Detroit in 6, Brooklyn in 7. And there's a little bit, there's a 3-game gap all the way back to the Miami, Orlando, Charlotte, Washington quad shit show fighting for the number 8 seed. So good job. But speaking of Detroit basketball, they're also weekend winners because they won their back-to-back home-and-home wins over Chicago. And they are 10-2 since trading for Kung Fu Thon Song Thon Play McCur, who had a massive game against them today. So, look, I'll talk about him a little bit later. But Detroit, crushing it. The Raptors, they cruised for the weekend. Weekend winners with wins over the Heat and Pelicans. They became the Pelicans. They hit a franchise record 21 threes against Miami. They looked very impressive. The Houston Rockets are weekend winners. They smoked Philly, then beat Dallas today. They won 8 straight and look like a pretty handy sort of like dangerous lurking 3 seed there in the West. They're officially a game ahead of the Thunder and the Blazers in who are tied for 4th and 5th, obviously, in the West. So nice one, Rockets. At the bottom of the Western Conference playoff race, we have the Spurs and the Clippers, both weekend winners. The Spurs have won 5 straight. It's pretty good. I think it's 8 straight at home as well for the Spurs, which is wild. And the Clips are sticking right there with the Spurs. They're both on 38 and 29. The Clips have won 4 straight. And they're cruising. So good stuff.
Pretty bloody good.
The Spurs got a big win over the Bucks. They needed that. They keep their win streak alive. Good stuff. And finally, the Minnesota Timberwolves. But they won there too. Yeah. But also, Karl Anthony Towns might be hurt. But no, they're still the winners because without Karl Anthony Towns, without Bobby Covington, without Andrew Wiggo Wiggins, and barely any D-Rose, they still beat the Knicks. Great job, Wolves. How do you reckon Derek Rose felt about that, though? You know, once a Nick, always a Nick. And finally, Golden State were a weekend winner because they beat the second-ranked West team. That was pretty good. On Sunday, they beat Denver. Nice one. So let's go to weekend losers then, shall we?
Losers.
No, you two are winners. Big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys.
Shut up.
Loser.
Loser. Loser. All right, weekend losers. Oh, it's also Golden State. That's right.
But James, you just said they were weekend winners, mate.
Yeah, too fucking bad. They're also weekend losers because not soon after did they beat the old Denver Nuggets in a battle of the 1 and 2 seeds in the West. So they beat the second-ranked West team. They then went and lost to the fucking last-ranked West team. Today, they lost to the Phoenix Suns.
But why didn't you put the Suns on the winners thing?
It's because fucking who cares about the Suns? They've been pretty good of late. They've beaten the Bucks. We're going to talk about them in a second, but Jesus. Good stuff, man. Weekend losers, the LA Lakers, obviously they got shit pumped by Boston. They lost two of the young dudes for the rest of the fucking season. And there was a like avalanche of articles talking about them being a disaster over the weekend. So yeah, you'll take that as a pretty big L if you're a Lakers fan. Jesus. And for any of us out there who aren't Lakers fans, it's pretty great. Love it. How does karma feel like coming to get your ass? It's like, oh, fuck you, Lakers exceptionalism. We're going to win the title. We've got LeBron James. Narrator, they did not win the NBA title. Other weekend losers, the Indiana Pacers. They missed 12 straight shots against Philly. This was brutal. The entire front court shot like 3 of 30. And they've dropped 2 straight, but it was against the Bucks and Sixers, so you can't really criticize them too much. You do wonder, though, like if this is sort of like the tiny little bit of a breaking point for Indy Sands. Victor Oladipo. They've been very, 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 very good, but as soon as their schedule gets a little bit hard, they don't quite have enough to keep up, do they? Weekend losers, the Orlando Magic. Oh, they lost to the Grizzlies. What are you doing, mate? You're trying to make the playoffs, you idiots. You don't lose to the fucking Grizzlies. Which brings us to the Utah Jazz. You're in a dogfight in the West making the playoffs, and you lost to the fucking Grizzlies. What are you doing, you morons? Jesus, Jazz. Nothing the jingler could do could stop them. The Jazz are in sixth, but it's a pretty tenuous sort of sixth because they're basically on the same win percentage as the Spurs and Clippers just behind them in 7 and 8. So, but speaking of the Magic and the Jazz losing to the Memphis Grizzlies, the Memphis Grizzlies are weekend losers. But James, they won against the Jazz and Magic. Yes, but they're fucking morons for keeping on winning because now they just keep pushing their shitty fucking odds. Worse and worse and worse. They've won 3 straight out of nowhere. 3 completely fucking useless games. Which has actually punted them randomly ahead in terms of like shittest records and therefore better odds in the lottery. Ahead of the Dallas Mavericks. And now ahead of even the fucking Washington Wizards. Memphis. What the fuck are you doing? Jesus. The Pelicans though have figured it out. They're 30-39. They've lost 3 straight. The wheels are off. That's smart. The tank is on. That's what you need to do, Pelicans. You need to have your pick be horrible, which is awesome, and then you need the Lakers to be shit as well because they give you that one when you trade them Anthony Davis in the offseason. Anyway, finally, weekend losers. Apparently anyone who plays the giant-killing Phoenix Suns all of a sudden, they popped the Bucks last week and then today beat the Warriors on a back-to-back. That is absolutely wild. They've beaten 2 number one seeds on the road in a week. Phoenix. That is absolutely wild. Unbelievable stuff. All right, let's fly through all the actual game results, shall we? So, Saturday, the Hornets eked one out over Washington, 112-111. Charlotte, that was like a big game, actually, because basically punted Charlotte back up well ahead of Washington. It's the old two-game swing in the standings, that one. So, good job, Charlotte. Orlando beat Dallas, as mentioned. Orlando. They're scrapping for that 8 seed in the East, and Dallas very smartly tanking and trying to get their hands on a top 5 pick so they actually get to keep it in this year's draft. Miami smashed Cleveland 126-110. Detroit beat Chicago 112-104. Philly lost to Houston 91-107, despite Big Simo Ben Simmons' best efforts. Utah lost to Memphis, as mentioned, 114-104. Toronto beat New Orleans 127-104. Denver lost to Golden State 105-122 in that big 1-2 battle. Oh, that was Saturday, not yesterday. My bad. OKC lost to the Clips as well, 118-110. That was a fiery, fiery game. Loved every second of it. It was great. Sunday, Sacramento beat the New York City Knickerbockers of New York City 102-94. Brooklyn eked one out over Atlanta in Atlanta 114-112. Minnesota beat Washington in overtime 135-130. Lost Karl Anthony Towns, still managed to win. The Celtics shit pumped the Lakers 120-107. Both Kyrie and LeBron had 30-point games. That was pretty fun. Charlotte lost to Milwaukee. Milwaukee hurts Algonquin for the good land. 131-114, and Phoenix lost to Portland 127-120. And then today, look, Detroit killed Chicago 131-108. Huge games from Detroit. Toronto beat Miami 125-104. Indy lost to Philly 106-89. The Pelicans became the Pelicans 116, losers to Atlanta 128. Great losing by the Pelicans, though. Unbelievable. Memphis beat Orlando 105-97 thanks to Mike Conley. He was unreal in that game. Dallas lose at home to Houston 94-93 thanks to Chris Paul blocking Jalen Brunson's attempted game winner. The New York City Knickerbockers of New York City 92 lost to Minnesota 103. Milwaukee lost to San Antonio 121-114 because they were not in the good land. They were in San Antonio. And finally, Phoenix, as mentioned, beat Golden State 115-111 in Golden State. Absolutely wild scenes. Loved it. All right, so with all that in the bag, let's do it. What was the NBA Australia approved performance of the weekend?
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That's a knife. Joel Embiid, he comes back after sitting out after, you know, every game since the All-Star break. He goes 33-12. Almost outscores the Pacers by himself in the second half. He shot a 7 of 11, basically going down. Oh, yeah, thanks, man. Can I get the sausage roll? And I'll grab one of those donuts. Thanks, man. Yeah, it was 7-11. The Pacers combined in the second half shot 9 of 38. So Joel Embiid, pretty good. He scored 24 points. The Pacers in the second half scored 30. So it's pretty bloody good. Big Karl Anthony Towns had 40-16 before he left in that Washington game. That was a hell of a game. As mentioned, Kyrie and LeBron had dueling 30-point games. That was pretty neat. LeBron had his 80th career triple-double. Pretty good performances. CP3's block on Jalen Brunson to stop his attempted game winner was pretty fucking wild too, so that was good. But how about we give the NBA Australia approved performance of the night to little Devin Booker. Devo scored 11 straight in the fourth quarter and basically buried Golden State. He ended up on 37 points for the night, closed out the Warriors, hitting free throws, hitting shots in the paint from outside. The three he hit basically buried him. It was absolutely nuts. 13 of 23 he goes from the field, 2 of 6 from downtown. But he also had 11 assists, 8 rebounds, and 2 steals. Devin Booker, you bloody star. That is a hell of a line. 37, 11, and 8. Devin Booker, that's the NBA Australia approved performance of the night. The weekend, even. What about Old Mate No Mates, though?
Old Mate No Mates.
Who's got no mates today? How about LeBron James? That's right. Not only does he have Jeff Van Gundy on the broadcast saying that he wants the Lakers to think about trading LeBron, you got to put everything on the table. All right, fuck off. Yeah, nah, Jeff, you're off your rocker. But still, it was wild to have everybody just going, are we really sure that LeBron and the Lakers are like a good fit? And like, what's going on? It's been a disaster since he got there. There was 3 or 4 big pieces on the weekend that all dropped about how shit the Lakers have been and how LeBron has sucked, like, basically from, you know, their record with and without him is basically exactly the same. You're like, ugh. That is pretty bad, I guess. They're 24-24 while he's played. That's absolutely nuts. But yeah, it's been wild to see everybody sort of pile on LeBron. Big fella is copping it for once, and it's kind of funny. You know, this is what happens. Moves to LA, bounces from the small town back to another big one. He's got Space Jam 2. He's got another couple of TV shows, and then he's like, oh, Wow, so, I don't know, these young guys need to focus, hey? Well, how about we trade most of them? And all the other young guys are like, fuck, man, this guy, I'll tell you. So there you go, LeBron. Suddenly turned to old mate, no mates very quickly, didn't he? What about Spud of the weekend, though?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the night.
Oh, that's right, Spud of the night. We had a whole mess of, attendees at the Spud convention over the weekend.
Kelly Hoser, Olynyk, look at my stupid beard, eh? That's pretty cool.
He went, played against his home country's team, Toronto Raptors, and he shot 0 of 8. Holy shit. Curly Hoser Olynyk, eh? 0 of 4 from 3 in his home country. Not great, pal. Trae Young, though, after a recent spate of absolutely shredding it, shot 4 of 14 against Brooklyn and then went 2 of 14 against the Pelicans. Jesus, that is 6 of 28 combined for the weekend. Trae Young, that's a Spud weekend. Al Jefe, Jeff Teague, 2 of 14 against Washington. That's pretty gross. Damian Doxon went 2 of 12 against Sacramento. Chris Paul today against Dallas before he got the game-winning block was 2 of 11. Jesus. Ish Smith and DJ Augustine kept up the whole, small point guards have a shitty weekend, don't we? They both shot 2 of 10. Geraldo Green went 3 of 13 today against Dallas as well. Kevo, what up? He went 1 of 8 and then went absolutely bananas the next game as the Hawks beat Atlanta. He was really good. Yeah, 29 the next game. But Jalen Brunson as well. Look, Luka sort of screwing up in Dallas, not taking a timeout at the end of that Houston game. Luka's like, fuck it. And then he's like, oh shit, I've been trapped. Passes to Jalen Brunson. Brunson doesn't really get the shot off. Gets blocked by Chris Paul all over. Lots of Spuds everywhere. There's more Spuds than Danny Ferro's backyard at this point. But Kelly Hoser, Olynyk, and Trae Young, there you go. 0 of 8 for Kelly. You got to hit at least one shot, mate. And Trae Young, 6 of 28 across two games. It's pretty rough. Panting of the night, Grizzlies beating the Magic, and then the Suns beating the Warriors. The Warriors and like the Warriors home crowd of just like going, we can walk it in against the fucking Suns. And then they got pantsed by the giant killing Phoenix Suns. Loved every second of it. That was a really fucking fun game, too. I really like watching DeAndre Ayton. So that was really... And Devo Booker obviously went absolutely bananas. So, look, Magic, you got pantsed by the Grizz. Jazz, you got pantsed by the Grizz. And the Warriors, y'all got pantsed by the Suns. Nice. That's like the old hashtag drive-by, running it past someone in the playground and to go, whoop, dacked ya. Who was better than Lonzo Ball, though, on the weekend?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody with our season-ending injury. That's right. Everybody's better than Lonzo Ball and have been since January 19, considering he hasn't fucking played. So we do always do better than Trae Young as well as Lonzo Ball. And this weekend, it's not hard. As mentioned, Trae Young going 6 of 28 over the weekend. So how about Luka Doncic, 24-8-5 against Orlando for Dallas, and then backed it up with a 19-point, 15-rebound, 9-assist, 2-steal, and 2-block game today against Houston. He was unreal. Absolutely wild. But as mentioned, DeAndre Ayton is just very quietly sort of just cruising along and kicking ass and taking names. He had 21-8 against Portland yesterday, and then backed it up against Golden State today with an 18-point, 9-rebound, and 4-assist game, as well as a big offensive rebound in the last minute and a half that basically helped Phoenix score again and seal the win. So DeAndre Ayton, Luka Doncic, we get it. Better than Trae Young, but still pretty bloody good and definitely better than Lonzo Ball. And finally, Dickhead of the Weekend.
Dickhead of the Weekend.
Jeff Van Gundy. Oh, this hurts my heart. But look, you know how you have like an uncle who just says dumb or racist shit to get a rise out of everybody at like family functions and stuff, but then you kind of realize that secretly he believes it because he's kind of a dick. Yeah, that's basically Jeff Van Gundy at this point, right? Like, if he was sinking all that fucking LeBron James wine, like, would you be that surprised? Because like 85% of the time he's just a fucking shitty old crank. He's like, he's been weirdly, crazily overrated as a fucking special comments commentator. For like pretty much the last 5 years, he's been bored with it for about 5 years. The only time he's been fun was when he was with his brother. That was awesome. Now he spends the vast majority of his time complaining about officiating and players and their effort. And never says shit about, like, the fucking spud coaching he watches, because you can't fucking apparently touch coaches when you're a former fucking coach. But yeah, then on the weekend drops the, I think the Lakers should, like, think about trading LeBron James. What do you reckon? And everyone's like, Jeff, shut the fuck up. That's just the old, when you're panicking and like looking for something to say, like you just say some of the dumbest shit to throw it out there. It's like, I think Carlton could win 5 games this year in the AFL. It's like the same sort of dumb shit. Jeff, you're our dickhead of the weekend. All right, we'll be back in a second with Yeah Nah, right after this.
G'day, this is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Right, we're back. It's time for Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, are the Indiana Pacers Hickory High jerseys the best alternates in the NBA? Yeah Nah. Nah, that still goes to those Miami Vice ones. They're rad. But the Hickory High ones are pretty cool to whip out, like, what, 2 times a year? 3 times a year? I don't think you should be doing it any more than that. Because they look kind of cool, but they kind of look a little bit funky when you do it a little bit too much. It's kind of funny when you just go, look, all right, we're going to do it twice a year and make it a big special thing. I think that's how it should all be going. Because they look kind of cool. But yeah, once you go like more than 3 times a year, it gets a bit dicey, I reckon. Next up, will Lonzo Ball and Brandon Spindles Ingram ever get to play a competitive live NBA game again with LeBron James? Yeah, nah, not on the Lakers. I mean, if the Lakers trade them all to like the Pelicans and then trade LeBron somewhere else and then they all end up on the Pelicans, sure, maybe. But look, even if they don't get traded for Anthony Davis in the offseason, do you really think Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball are going to be pretty fucking chill? We're just going, oh, yeah, so you spent, like, the last 12 months trying to trade us? Oh, no, it's cool, man. Nah, I'm good. Like, the Lakers are just going to sit there and go, oh, fuck, we have to trade these guys for something, aren't we? I'm really excited for Jimmy Butler to be a Los Angeles Laker next year. I'm really looking forward to them signing him for, like, 4 years, $80 million or something. Should be really good. But, yeah, I can't really see Lonzo and Brandon playing with LeBron. They're definitely going to get traded over the summer. If not for Anthony Davis, probably for somebody else. CJ McCollum? Dame Lillard? Maybe. Who knows? Next one. Can the Celtics, after beating the Lakers, still end up as the 3 seed in the East? Yeah, no. Yeah, they can. I don't quite see it. I feel like Philly. So Philly, it's like 42-25, Philly and Indy, and then Boston are at 41-26, so a game back. The thing is, I feel like Boston will get to the 4 seed. I think Philly may just stick it out and end up like riding out on the 3rd seed. Just, I feel like Indy, it's going to be a bit tougher, especially considering they played Boston twice. Yeah, it's a bit of a rough one, isn't it? To run out there against Boston, like a team that you're, you know, battling for with for a playoff berth and everything, is a bit rough. So, look, I don't know. Going to be pretty fucking hard. Let's have a look at their strengths of schedule. Philly, 481. So they've actually got the lowest. Indy, you've got a tough one, man. 0.563 versus Boston, 0.51. So, yeah. Philly got the easiest remaining schedule. Indy, you've got the hardest. Boston. I reckon Boston ended up 4, Philly ended up in 3. Indy slipped down to 5. But it's going to be amazing. So I think the Celtics play Philly March 20. So that's next week. That'll be pretty good. And then they have 2 games remaining as Indy. They play March 29 and April 5. So the Celtics will probably get the 4 seed. I reckon Philly hold on for the 3 seed. But that March 20 game is going to be an absolute ball terror, isn't it? All right, what about the unpopular opinion of the day?
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me, look at me, look at me. Was that Derek Jones Jr. dunk a dunk or nah? Yeah, nah. Nah. It so close it doesn't matter, but it's a thrunk, isn't it? It's a throw-in dunk. It just, oh, but you know what? It doesn't matter. That was fucking spectacular, Derrick Jones Jr. You absolute star. If you haven't seen the video, we've posted it a couple of times on our Facey and Twitter. Derrick Jones Jr., the best part is how he has the reverse angle Jordan pose, and it's just an amazing alley-oop. So, amazing stuff, Derrick Jones Jr. Dunk or nah, doesn't matter. Fucking amazing. Good stuff, but it was still a thrunk. Just saying, still a throw-in. And yeah, people saying, oh, but the Dwight Howard and the Blake Griffin dunks counted in the dunk contest. Yeah. They shouldn't have, just saying. All right, finally, it's Outback Takehouse. It's Monday at Outback. And you know what that means? Yep, Scotty the dishwasher has hit another emu on his way to work. So, lighting up our amazing Outback Takehouse menu today is Alice Springs Chicken. Only at Outback. Goes great with a flame grilled take. And today's flame grilled take is the Lakers have shut down Lonzo and Brandon Ingram because they know if they tank, the NBA has already assured them that they're going to frozen envelope the Lakers into the top four of the NBA lottery. That's why Lonzo and Ingram have been shut down. Only at Outback. Pretty similar to the one we had on the, was it Friday? Where it's like, they're going to slow down the LeBron James train and only, limit his minutes and don't play him in back-to-backs because they've already been assured by the NBA. So the Lonzo and Ingram thing is just an extension of that. All right, nice. It just makes sense, doesn't it? All right, we'll be back in a second with the Australian Player Watch right after this one.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
Wow, we're back. Australian Player Watch, let's do it. Massive weekend for the Australians. We had a whole bunch of them. Big Simo Ben Simmons had himself a pretty good weekend. And the loss to Houston on Saturday, 15 points, 9 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals and a block. He was amazing though. Jesus. He blocked the shit out of one of James Harden's patented step back threes. That's what happens when you don't travel, James. Nice one. And in the win today against Indiana, he had 15 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists and a steal. And was amazing. There was a great dunk. I think we posted the video of it as well. Where it looks like the controller is stuck on turbo and he just speeds past everybody for a dunk. It was pretty good. For the self-same Sixers, son of Bruce, Jonah Bolden against Houston. He played 23 minutes. Unfortunately, only had 1 point. Went 0 of 2 from the 3. 1 of 2 from the free throw line. But he did grab 7 rebounds, have 4 assists, 1 block and 1 steal. So filled it up otherwise. And then today, though, against Indy, barely got on the court 1 minute, so he was zeros across the board. Replaced today by Amir Johnson, now that Joel Embiid was back, which kind of fucking sucks because you get the feeling that Jonah can do a shit ton more than that old spud Amir Johnson, who I love, but he's very old and very creaky. Not like Mitch Creaky Creek, but you know, you get me. Jingling Joe Ingles in the loss to Memphis for the Jazz on Saturday. He had 14 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. I still maintain he's the best point guard on the Jazz with 1 block. Went 3 of 7 from 3, which takes him to 22 of 55 from 3 since All-Star break, which is awesome. And he's averaging 9.2 assists over his last 5 games. Dante Exum, as mentioned, Kangaroo Kobe expected back, listed as probable for tomorrow's game against OKC. Here we go. It's a late push for most improved player, Dante Exum. Hashtag Dante for MIP. As mentioned at the top as well, King Deli of Maryborough, first of his name, Smasher of Tins, out for the game versus Miami on Saturday and out for the game tomorrow as well, thanks to him going into the concussion protocol after copping a bit of a knock to the old noggin against Brooklyn last week. Right at the end of that, he got a bit woozy apparently, so concussion protocol it is, 2 games, so hopefully he's back soon. But either way, look after yourself there, Deli. Patty Mills, Patty Thrills in the win over Milwaukee today. Big game for Patty. 5 of 10 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, finishes with 16 points, 4 assists and 2 rebounds. And how about big Kung Fu Thon McCurr in that home-and-home series for Detroit against Chicago on Saturday. He played 16 minutes. He only had 2 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, but also had 3 blocks. Absolutely crushing it. But then today, against Chicago, absolutely unreal. 21 minutes, only 3 points, 1 of 3 from 3-point land. He has 1 rebound, 1 block, 1 steal, but 6 assists. Oh, mate, that's a career high for Thon Stockton over there. 6 assists. Jesus. Handing him out like it's fucking candy, Thon. That was unreal. Handing him out like a fucking kung fu kicks. Good shit. Great career high. On you, mate. And as mentioned, Detroit have gone 10-2 since they traded for Thon. He's just a winner, mate. It's just how it goes. Speaking of winners, Aaron Bangers Baines against the Lakers. Played 16 minutes, went 3-5 from the field, so ends up on 7 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. Pretty bloody good. Rowdy Brockoff did not play coach's decisions against Orlando and Houston for the Mavericks, which kind of sucks, man. They're not winning these games anyway. Get Rowdy out there. Get him blooded. Be dropping bombs in no second. And Andrew Bogut, we hope that he'll be with Golden State this week. So we'll update it all as it gets closer. All right, it's Monday. What are we doing? Mondays? Oh, you know I love this. It's time for the first annual Andrew Gaze Gazy Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. It's the first Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba. Oh, give it up. There it is. Keep clapping. Oh, come on. Yes. Oh, there we go. Absolutely love it. That's right. The Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence today goes to Klay Thompson. He was absolutely unreal for the Golden State Warriors against the Denver Nuggets on, what was that, Saturday? It was absolutely unreal. So, the best part was he outscored the second best team in the West by himself for an entire half of basketball. That's right, in the first half, he outscored the Denver starters 27-15. 27-15 and a half for Klay. Will Barton had 0 points. Paul Thrillsap had 3. Joker had 8. The Dartsman, Gary Harris, had 1. And Jam and Jamal Murray only had 3 points. Adding up to 15. Klay, though, 27, ends up with 39 for the game. That's right. You may have noticed him missing off the NBA Story Approved Performance of the Night. It's because we're going to give him the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award. Shoots 9 of 13, 6 of 7 from 3 in that half. Absolutely fucking wild, mate. How good is that? So that's a great, great, great showing from Klay. Was also really, really good today again as well against the Suns. But just really couldn't lead them over the top, though, could he? That kind of sucked. But, today he had 28 points versus his 39. So ends up that game 13-22, 9 of 11 from 3. Absolutely wild stuff. 10-22 today. So good job, Klay. You are the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence Award winner for today. All right, we'll be back in a second with the Patty Mills Game Day Ball, a Game Day Twitter chicken, and some game previews. 6 games tomorrow, so that should be pretty good. Right after these ones.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, we're back. NBA Australia, Patty Mills, Game Day Ball, Game Day Twitter check-in / inspiration board. This is an easy one. So Patty retweeted a Spurs video just saying hashtag coffee gang is squad goals, coffee emoji, hashtag go Spurs go, Spurs emoji, logo emoji, whatever. Amazing stuff, because there's then a video of Patty talking about how he takes Rudy Gay and Bryn Forbes to go to, like, every new city that they go to, they have to go to the coolest coffee place that Patty can find. Patty then explains that Rudy doesn't know shit and Bryn's a fucking nerd about coffee. Well, doesn't know anything about coffee. So Patty's like, all right, this is cool. We're going to go get some good ones. Bryn's like, well, he takes us to all these hipster places. And this is because Americans think that good coffee is suddenly for fucking hipsters. Like, you're a fucking hipster if you don't drink shit coffee like an asshole. It's wild. But anyway, the video is great. Go watch it. It's the Spurs tweet as retweeted by Patty Mills. Rudy Gay is very funny. Patty's incredible. He tortures Bryn Forbes a bunch. And Bryn Forbes looks like a clueless moron, but it's also very funny. So great stuff, Patty. Great stuff, Spurs. Good stuff all around. All right, let's do it. Game previews for tomorrow. Let's look at some odds. Let's do it.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
not a problem. How's your Labor Day going?
Ah, pretty good, thanks. I like this early start and early finish. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good, isn't it? You get to hang out with the squid.
Yeah, I do. It's pretty nice. All right, let's do it. Today, tomorrow's games. Yes, Raptors at Cleveland. That's right, Stephen A. Smith. They do play Cleveland. The Raptors are 10.5-point favorites on the road in Cleveland. Give me the Raptors. The Cavs will be without Matthew Dellavedova. Therefore, they will not be able to stop or slow down the Raptors. But at the same time, look, I mean, if the Raptors are out there and they are traveling again, you know what? I might take Cleveland plus 10.5. The Raps are going to be on a back-to-back. They're traveling again. They're in Miami. They're going up to Cleveland. Yeah, fuck it. Give me Cleveland plus 10.5. I like that. It's just maybe one or two too many points for a team on a back-to-back. Sacramento travel to Washington to play the Wizards. The Wiz are 2-point favorites at home, which is pretty wild, considering they're a rabble and the Kings are fun. I just want to go for the Kings, so give me the Kings plus 2. De'Aaron Fox versus Bradley Beal should be a good one. I think the Kings are just a better, deeper team. Give me the Kings plus 2, especially getting points. Detroit basketball bring their, streakiness in an amazing East playoff game, right? We've got the Detroit Pistons, who have won 5 straight, taking on the Nets, who have won 3 straight. They're the 6-7 seeds, almost all tied up. Brooklyn are 35-33 in 7th, and the Pistons are 34-31 in 6th, with a winning percentage of 523, Nets of 515. This is awesome. What a great game this is going to be. I'm going to watch the shit out of this. Pistons are 2-point underdogs on the road in Brooklyn. I think I'll take the Pistons. They've just been playing better. Brooklyn seemed like they sort of figured out their stuff now that Spencer Dinwiddie's back. They had a couple of game hiccup there once he got back, where everyone was figuring out their roles. But the Pistons are just really fucking firing on all, wait for it, cylinders. So give me the Pistons, plus 2. Hornets, they go to Houston to take on the Rockets. The Rockets are 9-point favorites, which is pretty crazy considering they're also on a back-to-back. And I don't know, man. They only scored, 90-something today against Dallas. Yeah, 94 versus Dallas on the road in Dallas. And then they have to go take on, this is pretty interesting, man. Charlotte plus 9. Can you do it? I might have to do it. It just seems like, again, same with the Toronto game. Plus 9 is a little bit too much. Houston will probably smash them, but 9 is a little bit too much. So give me Charlotte plus 9. OKC versus the Utah Jazz in Utah. Jazz are 3.5-point favorites at home, and I might take the Thunder plus 3.5. Thunder had just been looking very, 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 very good of late. Jazz, a little bit up and down. Yeah, Thunder have been inconsistent, but they probably should have won that Clippers game. They did get screwed by the refs, so give me the Thunder plus 3.5. And the final game tomorrow, another good one, Celtics at Clippers. Celtics are 1.5-point favorites on the road in LA. I'll take the Clippers, thanks, plus 1.5. Boston have spent the weekend in LA, so no doubt a couple of hangovers, a couple of late nights. Give me the Clips, plus 1.5. Should be good. And you know what? Oh, nice. We'll wrap up all those games for you tomorrow. Love it, because, we're still daily. How good is this? So check back in tomorrow for all the usual ridiculousness. In the meantime, make sure you're all over our socials, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're all over the socials during the games. You know, you love it with all our fucking stupid dumb shit that we do. Get around NBAAustralia.com. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. We're everywhere. Whatever Android app you use, love it. Just make sure you check us a rating and review. Just rate it. 5 stars every time. From Oslo, thanks for the intro and outro song for those guys, but House Hats, their new band, are launching their album March 29, and they've got an actual album launch April 12 at the Old Bar in Melbourne. I will be there for that. Probably drunk. In fact, I can guarantee it. So I'll see you there. That'll be great. Thanks to House Hats, they're unreal. You hear I've been broken behind Yeah Nah every day here at NBA Australia. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshack, Alami, iOS, X-Jedi, Green, and Dozer for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them a smash on Bandcamp, Facey, and remember, NBA Australia support Australian bands! And that's it for Monday, Labor Day, March 11. I feel like I've labored enough. Do it with a few cans, what do you reckon? So stick around, end of the show will be a brand new Deli Review, as Deli Reviews Bohemian Rhapsody. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, horizon! Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? It's your old mate Dally over here, just swinging by for my usual review of all things pop culture, for NBA Australia. And I gotta tell you, mate, this week's been a bit fucking rough, Like, I got knocked around a bit last week in fucking Brooklyn and shit, like, you know, just doing my usual thing of being a fucking hard nut and going after the ball. And the bloody team, they're all like, oh, Dally, I reckon you've got a concussion, mate. I'm like, oh, fuck off, I do. I reckon you're fucking dreaming, mate. Just cause shit's a bit fuzzy and walking in a straight line's a bit fucking tough, like, who fucking cares, man? I played footy and fucking worse. Played fucking footy feeling way worse. Like, I can still get out there and give it my all. That's what Dally fucking does, mate. So, but yeah, no, but yeah. They said I couldn't. So, gotta sit out a couple of games, like two games or some shit. So, look, yeah, but nah. Took the weekend off, So it was pretty good. Just hung out on the couch with the wife. And I tell ya, it was fucking colder than a Mirrabarra winter outside, so it was a pretty good weekend to have off, I guess, you know, just sat on my couch and hung out. So, it also meant, though, I got to finally get around to watching that fucking movie that won all those Oscars and shit, Bohemian Rhapsody, eh? That won all about that fucking Queen band and Freddie fucking Mercury and shit, like, you know, the Jokers who did that, we are the champions, my friend, and shit, like, fucking love that song. Played it fucking 27 million times after we won the fucking title in 16. So, and like, look, I know I got a concussion and shit, but I reckon, like, that fucking movie sucked, eh? Like, it was edited like someone threw a fucking pie against the wall, and it's all stop-starty and shit, and just everything was just a bit of a fucking mess. Like, narratively, it was all over the shop. It was more over the shop than we meet Darren on the pingers while working at Cremieri's Mirrabarra Mitre 10, you know what I'm saying? Like, fuck. Made fuck all sense. Skipped over a bunch of shit. You're like, oh, so they're a band. Now they're a big band. What the fuck? This is weird, man. No one in the band but Freddie apparently did anything bad or shitty. All right, cool. Also, like, some of the scenes were like some of the worst shit I've ever watched in my life. Like, what the fuck was that one in the office with that Mike Myers and that fucking stupid beard? It's like, fucking, was this written by a fucking four-year-old? Anyway. Still, that fucking Rami Malek fucker, he was awesome as Freddie Mercury though, wasn't he? Like, he fucking smashed it. He had all the mannerisms and shit down, and like, by the time they got to that Live Aid bit, he was like fucking, basically, he was the guy. He was fucking incredible, mate. So, and I'll tell you though, I know why Bohemian Rhapsody's been so fucking big, right? The missus, she fucking loved it. Oh, mate. So I just sort of sat there and smiled, had a bit of fun and shit, and just all, you know, it was pretty good. It was fine, you know? Reminded you how many fucking good songs they've got, eh? So, like, there's Don't Stop Me Now, We Are The Champions, you Dally pricks. There's also, like, Another One Bites The Dust, Hoi Hoi, Another One Bites The Fucking Belly Gun. And what else is there? Oh, we'll rock you, and shit like that. Just, like, special as, but anyway, so even though it sucked, it was probably one of the worst movies I've seen this year, and it's the sort of movie that your mum loves. Still gets 12 out of 10 Dally 1 just because Queen fucking rock and that Rami Malek prick was fucking incredible. So, yeah, there you go. All right, so get around Bohemian Rhapsody if you dig Queen, I guess, and that's it for this week. All right, hopefully clear up this concussion and I'll be back out in the court, but I'll definitely be back next week on NBA Australia with another Dally review. So, until then, all right, later cunts, Dally out!